pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome in. It is Friday and week zero has arrived. Welcome aboard on this Friday afternoon, late August, and we are here for the next 4 hours. We hope you'll stick around. We have a lot to do, number of really important guests to talk to. Let's start with a few headlines to share with you. It's week zero, your guide to the opening action. And there's really not that much action. Don't let us dissuade you, but Navy and Notre Dame always sounds good. How about Hawaii and Vanderbilt? We've talked about that. San Jose State and Southern Cal, good luck trying to find that one. It's on the Pac-12 network. Caleb Williams, he won the Heisman last year, and he's expected to win it again. Look who is also Jaden. Jaden Williams is on the list. Ewers, Hartman. Bo Nix, remember him? Played at Auburn for a couple years. Carson Beck. How did Carson Beck get on there? Sportico has a poll out talking about, has conference chaos phased the fans? The answer is it has not. Oh, my goodness. Congressional caucus seeks to preserve 18 college football stadiums, including the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. A couple of SEC stadiums in there. That's what we need. We need more congressional intervention, although this one might be good. And some bold predictions. I mean bold. Jesse Simonton's got some of those, and we are going to talk to him, like, starting right now. Hello, Jesse. Thanks for joining us from On Three. A lot to talk about, and you don't waste any time with your number one, Jesse. You're talking about Jim Harbaugh. Everyone's talking about Jim Harbaugh, but not the way you are talking about him. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Yeah, I mean, some of these bold predictions, I think they range from a little spicy to straight caliente. I went, you know, straight heat from the start. I think this is Jim Harbaugh's final season in Ann Arbor, and I think this could go a number of ways. He could ride off into the sunset by maybe, you know, delivering Michigan that first national championship since 1997. Perhaps he beats Ohio State for the third straight fall and they lose in the playoff again. Or maybe he's just so sick of the NCAA and you know, there doesn't seem to be a ton of alignment in Ann Arbor with the school president, the athletic director, and Harbaugh himself. So I think he was close to going to the NFL a year ago, and I think, you know, if it's the L.A. Chargers or one of those, you know, sorts of teams that's going to have a quarterback and a stable of good players, I think this absolutely could be the final college season for Jim Harbaugh in 2023.
You have a couple of other bowl predictions before we get to some of your most pressing questions. But, Jesse, you wanted to grab my attention. You mentioned a number of schools who you do not believe will finish the season ranked. One of them is Ole Miss. Please explain.
Well, I mean, every year, Paul, obviously these preseason polls are fun. They're great fodder. But we get this stuff wrong all the time. We, the collective media, are terrible at picking these things. A year ago, three top 10 teams finished the season unranked: Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas A&M. And so I just think Ole Miss, they're kind of in the back half of the rankings. I don't know that they're going to be a whole lot better record-wise than they were a year ago. This is a team that lost 5 of 6 down the stretch. The schedule's even harder because they got to play at Georgia. So I just think that, you know, Lane seems to like Jackson Dart and kind of the depth on defense this year. I'm skeptical. I think the schedule's so much more difficult. I don't think the Rebels win more than 7 games, and so I don't think they're going to finish the season right.
Lane Kiffin's on line one wanting to talk to you, Jesse, immediately. Yeah.
Yes, not happy.
He won't be, and no, he won't. Let's talk about some of the pressing questions for the contenders. Let's begin with the Dogs. Everyone has them in the top four. Many are picking them to win it all. What about you?
Yeah, I haven't released my next bold predictions piece. Next week is going to be all my playoff picks and conference picks. But I am optimistic about Georgia's chances. They are the deepest team in America. I think the Carson Beck, Mike Bobo union is going to work out fine, but we do need to see it. I mean, you know, Stetson Bennett wasn't just some Hollywood story. He was a darn good football player a year ago, scored 37 total touchdowns, threw for over 4,000 yards, and he did an excellent job operating Todd Monken's offense. The fact that Georgia now does not have either one of those people, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, I think that's notable. Again, I think Bobo is going to be just fine. He's going to run the ball. They're going to throw the pill a lot. They probably have the best set of wide receiver and tight end skill talent that they've had in Georgia in at least a decade. But we got to see it. So I certainly think if they do have kind of a fatal flaw, that could be it.
Let me get to Alabama, because that seems to be the topic du jour of almost everyone, especially your questions about the quarterback room. What are you hearing and what's going to happen with the Tide?
Well, I think right now it seems, Paul, like we're trending towards Jalen Milroe getting that first shot. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be the quarterback that starts against Texas in week two, or maybe that even plays, you know, against Ole Miss in whatever. I think that's week four. And so I think there's a lot of uncertainty still surrounding that position. You know, you talk to folks and it seemed like there was a lot of, you know, can we get Ty Simpson ready to be the guy? And he seemingly has not asserted himself with the job. And so it wouldn't be a surprise to me to see multiple quarterbacks play early in this season. And it just kind of settles itself out, much like Jalen Hurts in 2016.
Others are picking LSU. I saw there's so many predictions right now, Jesse. It's hard to keep up with them all, as you well
know.
They're
flooding.
But somebody picked LSU to win the national championship, which is fine. And they certainly have the coach and the talent. But what are your thoughts on how much better are they going to be, and are they good enough?
I think I'm high on LSU this year, Paul, and with good reason. I mean, the top end talent is absolutely there. They return all five starting offensive linemen, the same quarterback. You know, you have a head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator all back. But I do think a lot of folks have just completely overlooked that this was a school that prided itself on developing some of the best cornerbacks that then became some of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. And yet the last two seasons, DBU has been transfer U, and it was not very good a year ago. And I'm skeptical that it's going to be a lot better this fall. They've already suffered a major injury with one of their transfers. Denver Harris, the five-star from Texas A&M, has already been suspended. He's back, but, you know, that's a guy who's battled off-the-field concerns now at two different programs. That's a team that's going to have to start quickly. I mean, that's a brutal schedule, not only Florida State in the non-conference, but then you play Mississippi State. They're going to throw the ball. Arkansas, KJ Jefferson, Ole Miss, we know that Lane's going to, you know, light it up. They're going to be tested right away.
You know, you're right. I mean, that schedule, just from a, you know, especially from a defensive standpoint with Florida State, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss right out of the gate. I mean, if they can escape that, then obviously they'll live up to it. Jesse, great stuff. Always appreciate your time. We will be in touch very soon. And we thank you for coming on. We'll talk about what else we have in store for you this afternoon. Dele joins us at 4. He's got a lot of news about what's happening with expansion. Could the ACC be back on track? And Libet coming on board about an hour and a half later. And your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Ah, welcome aboard. Week zero. Can you feel the excitement? Okay, I won't ask again. Hugh is up next in Deep Gap, North Carolina. Hello, Hugh.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's been about 6 months. I decided to swear off calling during the silly fan season. But now that football's around the corner, I had a couple of things I want to run past you.
Love it.
Well, first of all, I had not checked my swing speed in about 10 years, and I was having some trouble getting the ball as far down the tee as I wanted to. So we had a Ping demo day at our club, and Ping was there, and they put me on that $30,000 whatever they call that machine to tell you how fast it is. Let me tell you what. The last time I checked it was 12 years ago, and it was about 95, and it was less than 80. Ooh. And I'm going to tell you, I'm 82 years old, and I play with about 30 old guys like I am. 3 mornings a week, 8:15, we gather. We got about a $10 a piece pot and fight over that like cats and dogs. But the truth is, there's something that you're too young to understand, but when your calendar age is greater than your swing speed, you have actually crossed what I call the old and in the way line. And that's not altogether bad, because at that point you have a legitimate reason for the inability to hit the ball out of your own shadow. Now, one of my best buddies for 15 years, a fellow named Charlie Horton, who was one of the better officials in the Southeastern Conference for 29 years. And over lunch the other day, now Charlie's 5 years older than me, and I'm 82, and he'd been a real good running back at Vanderbilt back in the mid-50s. And I was just talking to him over lunch about 1 o'clock about his years serving in the Southeastern Conference as an official. And I said, Charlie, what do you think about today's officiating? And he kind of got this strange look on his face and frowned. And he said, Hugh, I don't really like it. I have a hard time understanding it. He said, the TV replay has changed the whole philosophical approach to officiating. He said their spacing is much greater now than it was when I was doing it 15, 20 years ago, my last year. And the problem is their mechanics are much poorer, and they rely on the replay, and they assume calls. And he said, I would have a hard time trying to figure out how to operate in that way. Charlie plays from tees about 5,550 yards. I'm 200 yards further. And I do have my swing speed at this point marginally greater than my age. But when I cross that old and in the way line of my age being greater than my swing speed, I'll move up to those 5,500-yard tees.
Thank you. Remind me never to have my swing speed tested.
Well, no, that's a good idea. Incidentally, Paul, my school, Kentucky, from everything I can read, it appears that they have a chance for scheduling reasons and for some really sharp acquisitions through the open ability to bring in outside players. I think Kentucky's going to have the best football season they've ever had in their 130-year history.
I agree. Hey, Hugh, listen, I'm with you on that. Thank you very much. Great to hear from you, and let's continue the conversation. Daryl, I don't know what his swing speed is, but I know he talks like he's off
an on-speed. I can tell you, if you want to pick up – you can play golf with somebody, because I used to play a lot of golf, and there was people that had their swing speed was faster than mine, but I hit the ball farther than they did. You know why?
No.
Because I hit the ball in the center of the club face.
Okay.
That's what matters. Right down the middle every time with a driver. Paul, I mean, I can't help but laugh, Paul. I just don't – I mean, the glory days are over, Paul. How can you be a week away from your season starting and you don't even know who's going to be the starter for the most important position on your team? Auburn knows who their starting quarterback's going to be. Georgia knows. LSU knows. Ole Miss knows. A&M knows. Vandy knows. How can they not? I mean, do they think Bryce Young was going to be there forever? What have they been doing? How can you not know who your starter's going to be, Paul? Does it make any sense to you?
They know who the starter's going to be.
I mean, all these five stars. Oh, it shouldn't be that hard. What were they doing in the spring? Okay, you had spring practice. You had fall practice. What have you been doing? By now, you should definitely know who to start. Who your starter is going to be at quarterback. There's just no excuse for that. The glory days are over. That's obvious. Paul, you mentioned something this past week. I just want to bring you up the date here. Okay, I know Georgia lost Robinson for the year. Paul, he's our third string running back. We still got our second leading rusher coming back, Deshaun Edwards. Still got Milton, and we got a slew of five stars.
Yeah, Daryl, would you mind telling me, Daryl? Would you mind telling me the health of both of those guys right now?
Paul, how many times have you seen Georgia line up with two running backs in the backfield?
Well, Daryl, what you have to factor in is we're not talking about for 10 games this year. We're talking about one or two games and then the SEC championship and the playoffs. That's what we're talking about, not against some of these tomato cans that Georgia's playing.
Paul, we're going to be in the playoffs, okay? We'll be there. Yeah, we were waiting on Alabama last year. They didn't show up. They sent LSU instead, remember? We were waiting on them, sitting there waiting on them. They didn't show up, Paul. That's not our fault. And let me ask you one thing before I get out of here, okay, or you hang up on me. Why does all these Alabama fans want to give Nick Saban all the credit for Kirby Smart? I don't get it. If it was all Nick Saban, what about all these other assistants that's been under Nick Saban? They haven't had the same success. Why is Kirby Smart the only one? That's like giving Jim from Tuscaloosa all the credit for your show, Paul, instead of you. That's what it's like. Have a great weekend. See you, Paul.
John is up next. Good afternoon, John.
Oh, my God. Those two sucked the air out of the room, didn't they?
What air? What room? I'm dead.
I know. And no one filibusters a call better than Senator Hugh from Deep Voice Gap. I love to hear him once in a while.
I tell you what, John, when I woke up today, I'm thinking, I want to know what Hugh's swing speed is on the ping simulator.
And how Charlie's doing on the course,
well,
too.
Well, Charlie's and then, an SEC official. Charlie's last game was General Nealon's last game.
I know. And no one answers a question quicker than you can, than Daryl.
No.
He's got the answer before you can respond. But anyways, I was going to talk about the ACC and their pipe dream, but real quick, with Jesse, I think that was clickbait. Harbaugh is coming back because he pushed the suspension up so he wouldn't have to deal with it next year. His dad's living in town there. He lives in his old parish, yada, yada. But I thought you'd get a kick out of this because you interviewed Jack Harbaugh years ago.
Yes.
He named his interim coaches, and the assistant coach for the games will be his father, Jack Harbaugh.
That's very funny, yeah. Yeah, Jack was a really good coach many, many, many years ago.
You should get that interview updated. That would be interesting. And by the way, with Jesse, hello, we know Georgia's going to be number one. That's Captain Obvious quote there. But Alabama telling us that they're going to wait for a few games to decide who the starting quarterback. Well, hello, Texas is the second game. They can't be doing that.
John, you should know this by now. Alabama can do anything they want to do. Because they're Alabama.
Hey, Paul, in the ACC, if you have a minute, I think that's a total pipe dream with, you know, this act of desperation. Because quite frankly, I cannot see, I guess it's ESPN, why would they give a full share to the ACC for the likes of Stanford?
Listen, I realize they're in a desperate spot, but all you do is dilute an already diluted product by adding SMU and Cal. Stanford at least sounds good. The other two don't move a needle anywhere.
And why would the angry North board Dallas. Take chump change?
It's absurd.
And why would they take chump change?
They might as well if they're going to do that, they might as well just merge with the AAC.
I mean, they want $30 million more, not chump change.
It's
hey, great show
that's
this
an,
week.
That's simply accepting the fact that they're going nowhere until 2036. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Doug is up next. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today? Hope you're doing well. Hey, a couple of days ago, you had an alleged OU fan call in and basically say he wasn't sure if OU was going to be competitive in the SEC. There's been a lot of talk about whether OU and Texas can be competitive in the SEC. So I want to know, what is competitive in the SEC look like? Is that finishing in the top two? Is that Alabama and Georgia, or is it in the top four, or finishing in the top half of the conference? You know, what is being competitive look like? And I'm guessing that means for each team.
I think what it means, Doug, is not to lose to your biggest rival by 45 points, not to completely throw up your first season, to compete. And what does compete mean? It means to be in the running for something in November, not already out of it.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the compliment. We'll take a break. More to come. We have a number of guests, including Ross Dellinger, next hour. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, welcome back. Ryan is in Daytona Beach. Ryan, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I'm just flabbergasted that, like, I mean, George is great, don't get me wrong, but the fact that people actually are delusional enough to come out and say that Alabama's done just because they're on their high horse because they won something other than the Citrus Bowl for the first time in 40 years. I mean, Alabama's recruiting is still there. They're still going to be developing players. Just to completely write them off, I don't know, I think it's just crazy. Thanks for taking my call.
John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I was checking, you know, I'm a longtime Georgia fan. I was checking our roster. I was checking our coaches. I didn't see Darryl's name nowhere on there. He didn't ask the fanboy coach. And I'm pretty sure if you go to Athens on a Saturday when we have a home game, if you see that Subaru sitting way out on the opposite side of the parking lot, that's probably Darryl out there with his AM radio listening to some fanboy channel about UGA. God, he is such a bad representative for UGA. I wish he would go away. Thanks, Paul.
Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So, hey, Paul, I'm convinced that I could write for The Athletic and pick out the playoff teams just as well as their riders can.
I think you could.
Hey, Paul, one other question. How much time do you think Jim spent staring at Donald Trump's mugshot proclaiming how compelling it is?
Sapient.
Sapient.
Yeah, that was certainly going to be a mugshot for the ages.
Yeah. Paul, have a great day. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Hey, brother, how you doing? Look, I'm running out of Vermont this year, too, but I got something to say to AC. Look, you little boy, shut your little mouth up. You want to have a phone feud? Then take me on so I can destroy you like I did Jim. And after your guest you on yesterday, NMA going 8-4 this year, Paul. We're going to be a team that shocks everybody in the West, including the stupid Alabama fans, the dumb LSU fans. The only one fan I like in LSU is Augie and Legend. That's for you, AC. Bring it on, loser. I'll destroy you like I did Jim.
David is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today? Happy Friday. Man, it's a great day. It's the day before football starts, greatest time of the year. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment, send out prayers to the Rotunda family, the Funk family, on Bray Wyatt, Terry Funk's passing the last couple of days. Two really great wrestlers. But in response to Darryl and response to my buddy out there in Texas, Matt, I still think Saban knows what he's doing. He's the greatest coach in football today. He knows what he's doing. He's got these quarterbacks, and everybody's worried about who Alabama starter's going to be. What if they're all playing up at a level high enough to beat everybody else, but he just don't know who he's going to go with? You know,
David, nobody really believes that, but thanks anyway. Stuart is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Stuart.
Paul. What's up, baby?
Hey.
Brand new year. Hey, it's not me and Crimson's anniversary day. I'm not calling you on our anniversary. It's 1 week away, though. Paul, I got to tell you about what I feel about my Georgia Dogs this year. They're going to do very well. They're going to do very well, Paul. But let me just say this. Unlike Darryl, as I call him, Unreal Darryl, I am real, okay? And I'm real about Stetson Bennett. All the Georgia fans that always thought Stetson wasn't quite good enough, I think this year we're going to find out that Georgia is going to find out, too, that they're missing something without Stetson Bennett. And that's going to be the missing factor to our season this year. We'll go far, but we might not go all the way because of him not being there. Now, Robinson, him being gone, I really felt that by the end of the season or toward the middle of the season, he would wind up being the starter. He's the best running back. And Georgia's got something to worry about there, too. But I do apologize to all Georgia fans at Dog Nation because I underestimated them last year about going back-to-back, and I do apologize. But, Paul, baby, I will call you on my anniversary again a week from today. Go Dogs!
Jay is up next. So hello, Jay. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
Very well. Thank you.
Right on. I'm calling from Charlotte, but I'm a big Georgia fan. I've actually helped you get shoes at a local running store in Charlotte before.
Oh, wow. That's
great. I'm not going to name the name.
That's okay, Jay. Thank you.
So I just have a question. I want to know if Legend has a long-lost child in AJ, because AJ sounds exactly, to me, like he could be Legend's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do.
Have you heard it? What he says?
It would probably be an illegitimate child, but yeah, I could see there could be a paternity issue there.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that, man. So you might want to get a phone or few with those two, and they might be able to reconnect.
Jay, I think I will work on that. Well, it's great to reconnect with you again.
Yeah, definitely. Hope to see you back at the store at some point in time. And go Dogs, go Hokies, and go Charlotte.
Thank you. I was there not long ago. I'll see you there very soon. We'll take a no, we won't. But Pat is up next. I was like rushing out of there. Pat is up next in L.A. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I was watching Stetson Bennett in the preseason, and he's just another guy in the pro level. Which I think the point is this: I think Alabama might be overvaluing their quarterback. But the quarterback is going to be Saban's game manager on the field, not necessarily a great athlete. And
I don't think Alabama has to have Bryce Young. What happened though with Bryce Young, he changed the dimension of the offense a little bit, but he also bailed them out so many times. And that's what Stetson Bennett did with Georgia, and that's what Bryce Young often did with Alabama. So the question is, they don't need that day in, day out, but they may need it on the road somewhere like A&M, Kentucky. They may need it at home against LSU or Texas. Thanks for the call. We head to the break. We have a lot more happening this afternoon, including Dellinger in the next hour. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We continue. Todd is up next in Kentucky. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Oh, great. I was just going to comment. I saw you on your the Netflix documentary. I thought you guys did a wonderful job and always appreciate your insight. And I thought the episodes on Netflix was really good.
Thank you.
I was just wanting to ask, of course, I didn't mean to cut you off, Paul. I'm sorry.
No.
Thank
you very much. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Paul. But anyways, I just wanted to say that I was just get your opinion. What do you think, in my opinion, I mean, from 2006 to 2008, I think Florida University maybe had the best run in sports, you know, for the fact that they won back-to-back titles, you know, Florida with Billy Donovan's teams in 06 and 07, and with, of course, Urban Meyer in 06 and 08. And I just wondering what you thought about that, and I'll thank you for that. I'll just listen to your
thank
reply.
You. Yeah, no, I think that's one of the great runs of all time, and when you think about that too, they won the title in 06. Tebow won the Heisman the next year. They won it again in 08, and they were number one most of the 09 season. So it's just pretty amazing to think about what we had there, and especially those two SEC championship games in 08 and 09. Those were one versus two matchups between the two best coaches of that era, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. Sarge is in Lexington. You're on the air. Hello, Sarge.
Good afternoon. Cody's call from Hattiesburg touched a nerve with me yesterday. And those 45 wounded warriors. It was remarkable to hear what's happening from their reaction to your show and how it's alleviating their anxiety. Paul, I'm a rare breed. I left the military and overachieved for 10 years. After a decade, the wheels came off completely. I had ignored chronic ear infections, lung issues from burn pit exposure, and my lower back simply fell apart. It was also clear I had TBI and PTSD from an IED. one-third of my platoon was killed or wounded. And I had simply been trying to ranger on until I lost the will to mask the wounds of war, seen and unseen. I absolutely related to Cody, and, you know, your show helped to keep me sane during some dark months and years. And the callers and guests, you know, they become a proxy for family or work friends, particularly for those struggling with social anxiety, or maybe they feel ill-adjusted to the global landscape that is our world today. I just wanted to say that every word he said spoke to my heart, really. And I'll close on a positive note. UK is going to go 10-2 or 9-3 this year, I believe. There's a definite loss to Georgia, and I think we'll probably lose to Bama or Tennessee, but not both. So just wanted to call in and share those words.
Well, Sarge, thank you. I'm so glad to hear from you, and certainly hope your progress continues. And thanks for the kind words. We get a lot of criticism here. If I could speak to the audience for just a moment, people blast us from coast to coast about what we do and call it all kinds of terrible names, but we believe in it. Yeah, we serve a lot of different masters here, but to me the most important thing has always been the audience, and that's how we ended up getting placed here, because we had a connection to the SEC audience. It's expanded, but when we hear calls like that, it really does touch us. And we deeply appreciate that. Thank you very, very much, Sarge. You be well. Marshall is in South Carolina. Hello, Marshall. Good afternoon.
How is my favorite bald guy doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm just, you know, we're you know, from tomorrow, a week away from that butt whooping in Charlotte, Paul. I'm ready. I'm ready to hop on those tar holes.
Well, they took one the last time you guys met, and I hope you're right about them giving them another one.
Hey, they gonna take one again next week, Paul. I promise you that. It's going to be a butt whooping. The wine and cheese crowd is not going to be happy. It's what we do now. It's what the Gamecocks do to the ACC. We beat them.
Well, Marshall, I cannot wait for that game. Thank you very, very much. Gary is in South Carolina. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. First time caller.
Thank you.
I love your show. But I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Shane Beamer and what he's done for the Gamecock Nation.
Well, I think he's done everything, Gary. He's lifted the spirit. He's improved every aspect of it. But the most important thing is that there is a vibe now with South Carolina. It's exciting. There's a present and a future, where in the past it was literally hanging in the balance. Thanks so much for the call. Jay is in Mobile. Good afternoon.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
Okay, buddy.
Hey, do you think all this running back that got hurt for Georgia, you think that's going to hurt their offense?
Yes, I do, and I understand, you know, where he was on the depth chart, but when you have as much talent as he had, and he's a young guy, you just hate to see it. It impacts the team, and it could be one play on a 4th-and-1. It could be a third down call. It could be anywhere that could turn the season around. That's how I think he was that important.
I heard he wasn't that deep. Georgia's not that deep in the running backs.
Well, they're not. Then they've had injuries too. So I think that makes it even more complicated.
Hey, Nick could probably loan them a couple, Paul. We deep in them running backs.
Bama's deep everywhere.
Hey, Paul. On a serious note, it hurts my heart to say this, but do you think that if we win the Natty this year, you think Nick might step down because heck, he just bought that nice home.
I think it's possible, only because I think he knows how difficult it is, and it would be a perfect moment, denying Georgia a three-peat, walking off. But the one counter to that, though, Jay, is that he doesn't look remotely interested in retirement. And
I don't think so either.
Yeah, so I think
I hope not.
I mean, he's had plenty of chances to leave on top, and people keep saying, "Well, he can go into TV." He doesn't. Nick Saban doesn't want to go into TV. I can assure you. I work in TV, and I know what goes into it, and that would not interest him for 5 minutes.
Well, we love him around here. We all love him.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and what I mean by that is, Saban is somebody that likes to impact people. And when you're sitting on a television set, unless it's a really unique situation, you're not doing what he is doing now. Ross Dellinger is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.